Bender on another bad audio day, but I'm coming to you tonight, Sunday night, from the laundry room. There's the washer and dryer. It's been a while since I've spoken to you from the laundry room. So this is a big event. It is for me, and I'm sure it is for you. That's a poster over there. I think it's a poster of South Beach. I'm going to be back to my regular Coral Springs studio. I couldn't get there, but I want to talk to you about a word in the scripture that is really getting to me here, and it's the word located. Because God, his name means placer, theos. The very name God means placer. He's one who places things. You don't even need to prove anywhere else in the scripture that God is sovereign, that he moves people, that he's in charge of things. All you need is his name. His name, theos, in the Greek, God is placer. El is subjector in the Hebrew scriptures. And so he's the one who places people where they're meant to be. And he organizes the world. He organizes populations. He organizes where you are. I mean, he's the great organizer. No, I'm not the great organizer. I used to tell, I was almost going to say I used to tell a joke, but this is not a joke. I'm not a very organized person. I don't know if you can tell that. You've known me for many years now. And my desk sometimes gets cluttered, except now. I want you to look at this. If you're on the studio cam, before I get into this fantastic word from the book of 1 Thessalonians and talking about the organization of God, look at my desk over here. Is that nice or what? I have my paper towels there because I chew on them when I write. See those two rolls of paper towels? Mm-hmm. I used to chew my shirts. When I think I have to do this, I have to chew on something. And I used to chew my shirts like this. And then one day I looked, all my shirts had holes in them. And I didn't know why, because it's so unconscious that I do this. So I started eating paper towels. So at any given time, I'm in here writing. This is where I do most of my writing. I write the newsletter right here from this sofa bed. That's the sofa bed if you're watching the studio cam. It's a sofa now, but in the evening it miraculously changes over to a bed. I don't have to do much. I just have to push it and it goes click, and there it is. So God has placed me here. He's the placer. He's the subjector. I make plans. I cast a lot into the lap, but all my plans, all my scheming, all my thinking, all my doing is ultimately of him. And Paul knew this truth, and this is a huge truth for anybody right now, no matter where you are, but especially a good truth if you're in a difficult place, if you're in a hard place. Again, I apologize for the audio of this show. My microphone is in Coral Springs. I could not get to my microphone, so this is the best that I can do. Now, the verse is 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. Let us go there. Or I will go there, and you can just listen. Watch. Paul says, no one is to be swayed by these afflictions. These afflictions were the Thessalonians were being persecuted for their faith. But it doesn't have to be being persecuted for the faith. To me, to be alive, to be a member of the body of Christ, to hold to the truth that God is the Savior of all, you will have affliction in this life. Paul says in another place, anyone wishing to live devoutly in this world will be having affliction. And so Paul says no one is to be swayed by these afflictions. Now, many people are, when they have afflictions, they're swayed out of the afflictions because they think that it's not God's will for them to be in the affliction. And they think that they've somehow landed themselves in a place, a condition, a situation, or a literal geographical location where God did not mean for them to be. And many people still struggle with, is this my will or God's will? Did I get ahead of God? I've heard that phrase before in my early Christian life. People think they get ahead of God. Like, I just went on ahead of the Lord, and I made a decision. I didn't wait on God. This is old talk. This is Old Testament talk. This is me and God talk. This is not talk of, with Christ have I been crucified, and living in me is Christ. We know now, this was not always known, that he is the placer. And where you find yourself is where you're supposed to be. I don't know how many times I've said this phrase. I've said, there's no place I'd rather be than right here, right now. And now that I think about it, I have to admit that I've always said that when good things are happening, or I'm with people whose company I enjoy, or we're having many times at fellowships. Fellowships are always hard to get to. You know, you have to fly, you have to travel, you have to stay in a motel, you're uncomfortable, and you wonder, what did I leave home for? But then when you get with fellow believers, you realize there's no place you would rather be. Dorothy once said, there's no place like home. That's wrong. Bad Dorothy. Bad Dorothy. There's no place like where you are. So Dorothy, when you were in Oz, that was the best place to be. There's no place like home. Okay, well, in our case, our home is inherent in the celestials, but one day we'll be there, and there's no place like it. So, all right, upon reconsideration, sorry, the camera keeps going up and down because it's sitting on my knees. Upon reconsideration, I'll have to cut Dorothy Gale a break there because she wasn't saying that she wasn't content in Oz. In fact, she had gained friends in Oz, and she was loath to leave them. But she had to return to Auntie M. We know this. And so we have formed many friendships here, some under duress. We're under duress every day, and we form alliances. Sounds like a Survivor, the reality show Survivor. We form alliances to get by. God brings people in our life. He places people in our path. I'm going to get to this word. Just wait. He places people in our path, and he places us in the literal geographical location where we are supposed to be. Talk about a GPS. God has a GPS. The God positioning system is my new acronym for my new interpretation of the common acronym, God's positioning system. And so Paul, recognizing this says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, no one is to be swayed by these afflictions, for you yourselves are aware that we are located for this. He uses the word located there. I like that. We are located. And it's not we have located ourselves. It is the fact that God is the placer. So this verse works perfectly hand in hand with the truth that God is the placer, and he's the one who puts you, he locates you. So I've never said that phrase, no place I'd rather be than right here. I've never said it when I've been in a terrible trial. There's no place I'd rather be than right here, right now. But if I had faith, like Paul does, Paul really has the faith here, because he begins this verse saying no one's to be swayed by these afflictions. So he's dealing with affliction, and he says that you're aware that we're located for this. So he's not exactly saying he's happy about it, but he's recognizing the fact that there's no place like right here, right now, even when you're going through the mill, even when you're going through the ringer, even when you're sweating and crying, you're located for this by the placer. I don't need any other verse to prove the sovereignty of God and disprove free will but the name of God. That's all I need. What does theos mean? Look it up in the Greek lexicon, your Greek dictionary. Placer. That's what he does. He places people. Then Paul continues in verse 4, for even when we were with you, we predicted to you that we were about to be afflicted according as it came to be also, as you are aware. Now I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 1, because this is amazing. Paul is in jail in Rome, and in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1, he says this, now I am intending you to know, brethren, that my affairs, affairs, that's a euphemism for all the crap that happened to me, all the trials I endured, he calls it my affairs, have rather come to be for the progress of the evangel, so that my bonds in Christ become apparent in the whole praetorium and to all the rest, and the majority of the brethren, having confidence in the Lord as to my bonds, are more exceedingly daring to speak the word of God fearlessly. So Paul, in jail, in prison, unfairly accused, the word of God, because Paul is located there. This is such a truth that it will cause you to relax wherever you are. And if Paul can say this concerning the bad times, and of course the good times, everybody wants to be where they are then, but it's when the bad times hit, when the trials hit, Paul says his affairs came to be for the progress of the evangel, so that even the word of God began to reach some in Caesar's household. In another place, Paul mentions that the evangel came to be in Caesar's household. Oh, is it Romans when he writes those? No, at the end of Ephesians, those of Caesar's household greet you. Where is that? Does anybody know where that is? Call me at... No, you can't call me right now. Let me look this up. My friend Matt always freaked out over this, that Paul reached some in Caesar's household. His evangel touched people, because I think Paul was a nice guy. Oh yeah, this is Philippians, at the end of this book, Philippians 4:22. Paul was a decent guy wherever he was, just like Joseph. God gave Joseph favor in the jailer's eyes because Joseph was a decent guy. He cleaned up the place. He looked after it. He was gentle soul. And I think that wherever we are, we have to show grace and we have to be agreeable, generally speaking. I remember when I worked for the post office, and once in a while they put me up at the main window and I sold stamps. When I was selling stamps, sometimes I was just having a terrible day. But when you're facing the customers, you always put on a happy face and you smile and you greet them. I know, I'm old school. People don't do this today, especially at fast food restaurants. I have to go to a fast food restaurant sometimes and say, hello, can you help me? Because I just look at you. Can you help me? They don't get it. So Paul, no matter where he was, exuded the grace of God. So we go to the end of Philippians. This is amazing. Verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greeting you are the brethren with me. Greeting you are all the saints, yet especially those of Caesar's house. Those what? Especially those saints of Caesar's house. Caesar! The crazy Roman dictator who eventually murdered Paul. There were some in Caesar's house. Not Caesar's house salad, no. Caesar's house, who heard the gospel. Paul calls them saints here. He does. Listen to it again. He doesn't say it directly, but it's implied for sure. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greeting you are the brethren with me. Greeting you are all the saints, yet especially those of Caesar's house. They're saints. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. So even though, Paul found himself in a difficult situation, and yet he saw it as an opportunity to spread the evangel. But I'm not saying that you have to be a Paul. I'm not saying that you have to go around spreading the evangel. Not at all. I'm just talking that a smile or a good word can change someone's life. I usually do this at Subway. I mean, many times I have done this. When I go to Subway and someone really takes the time to make me a good sandwich. Oh, did I tell you this? I always go out of my way. One time I had a guy making a sub for me. It was just a beautiful thing. He was just stacking it in there, man. He loaded my sub up so much that he could hardly fold it over. You know, they fold it over with a knife and everything and they wrap it. And I went out and I ate that thing and my eyes rolled in the back of my head. It was such a good sub. And I came back in. I came back in and I said, "You're the guy that just made me that sub?" He goes, "Yeah." And he's scared. He's scared of me because he thinks I'm going to give him the, read him the riot act like most people do. I said, "Sir, you are a sandwich making genius. That was the best sub I ever had." And the guy just beamed. He was so happy. So we were all located for that. And Paul, though he's located in prison, still is of an agreeable disposition. So we can be suffering, but we don't have to be suffering with dour faces. We can be suffering with grace. And it's only possible, I believe, if you have the truth that we just read up in the beginning of Philippians about being located, and 1 Thessalonians. Paul, this was an early letter, 1 Thessalonians. We are located for this. When you realize that, then you realize you're not out of God's will. If you're in a bad place, whether spiritually, physically, geographically, you have to know that you're located for this. God has located you there. It's no accident. You didn't decide to do it, and God's now trying to figure out, how do I get that guy out of that place? I didn't want him to be there. Why did he get ahead of me? God doesn't think that way. Why did that guy get ahead of me? No. You may have thought you went there on your own. You may have, of course, you planned. We're not aware. consciously aware that God is working on us all the time, but it doesn't matter if we're consciously aware of it. It's true nonetheless. Next time we talk, I'll be coming to you from my formal studio in Coral Springs, and I'll have my high-tech microphone, and we will be flying through the end of chapter 14 of the unveiling. I'm glad you're here with me. I love you, and I'll see you soon.